Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you. Guys, we made it to Uganda, East Africa. Boom. Man, we're here. And I praise God for it, man. It's a beautiful day. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning back at the house, Texas time. And here, the sun is up bright. And guys, we're getting ready for our first full day here. The rest of the team is going to be coming in this afternoon. We got in last night at about 2 a.m. is when we got here, local time. After a huge long day of traveling. But guys, thank you so much for your prayers. Man, we're here. And we are already meeting with so much of our teams. And then this afternoon, we're going to be meeting with a bunch of our sons and daughters. And some already came to have breakfast with me this morning. Kids that we got when they were little bitty, and now they're older and they've got their own families. So usually the first couple of days that we're here, it's just seeing family. And it's just so beautiful. From here, guys, we're going to be going up to the northern part of Uganda. And then we're after we visit two of our villages there, that literally supports thousands of people, that where when we first started it, there was nothing, there was no electricity, there was no water, there was no church, there was no school, there was no nothing. And now it is an entire thriving village, two of those. And then we're gonna come back here, and then we're going out to the west part of the country in Fort Portal, where we're gonna be at our baby's home. And we're gonna be visiting all the kids that we recently rescued out there. And so the kids that I haven't seen that we've rescued since we were here last in March. So guys, thanks so much for your prayers. And I love you so much. Keep on praying for us. God is already bringing us miracles. I've already got testimonies to give you. I will continue to share them with you as we continue to move forward. Mwah. Boom.
Oh, wow. Welcome. Blessings and peace to you, our friends. Thank you for joining us. I'm Shay Wilbur, Media Director here at Open Door Church and Troy Broom Ministries and the various ministries that we have here under our house. And we are so excited you've joined us. That was just a message fresh from Troy. I mean, I woke up to that text and I was so happy that he sent a message for all of our Pulse family because, as you know, you guys are all so near and dear to his heart. And it's so cool to hear all of the work that they are already doing. He already has testimonies. They've been there for just a few hours. I think now they're going to sleep. So they have a full day now of testimonies, and we're definitely going to be bringing those to you as soon as we have them. But before we really get into the show, let's introduce who we have joining us. We have the one, the only.
Listen, it's too early in the afternoon for this. No.
Yes.
And I'm trying to keep my ADD under control today, okay?
Okay, your ADD is going to be under control more today.
Hopefully.
I feel like it keeps things interesting, so it's okay.
I mean, it does. I'm not saying it's going to go away. I'm just saying. Hey, guys, good to see you guys. As always, if you're watching on any of our social media platforms, please be sure to hit the like, subscribe, and follow button, depending on what platform you are or what platform you are on. You can also hit that bell icon if you're on YouTube. That way you know every time we go live. And it's good to see a bunch of y'all in here already. I saw Vegan from, I believe it's Chicago. Good to see you. Reese is here from San Diego. We have Canada, in the house with Miss Pam. We have all sorts of people here. And guys, be sure and tell us where you're from so we can say hi to you.
Thanks for joining us. We're excited to have you. We also have the lovely, as Troy says it, some say tomato, some say tomato. I say tamayo. Rebecca Tamayo.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, that's good, a very fitting sound effect for her. I love that. She's awesome. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, we're excited for today. I'm excited for everything we're going to speak on and our guests and everything that the Lord's doing. So stay in tune.
Yes.
We're excited.
Awesome. It's going to be a great show today. And we also have Zach Rippey, a.k.a. I Like Birds.
Yes, sir.
We need to get like an audio thing that's just like, I like birds. Or something that we just like push a button.
Taylor, work on that.
Yeah.
You got it. You got it.
I like turtles.
If you're wondering like what we're talking about, he has a podcast called I Like Birds. He's also a comedian. He's also a speechwriter. He's also an author and just a son of the house. Absolutely. You know, you say that Pastor Troy is a mentor and a father figure to you. And I know he loves you so much. So we're so excited that you're here joining us.
Yeah. Thank you for having me back 2 days in a row. And
I know.
Again next week. So I really appreciate the opportunity to sit with you guys at the table and just talk about King Jesus.
Yeah. It's so fun. And today we've got a great show. We also have a guest that you're going to be hearing from in a little bit, just a few minutes. His name is Larry Sparks at Destiny Image. He's with Destiny Image. He's also speaking tonight at Open Door Church. So when we knew he was speaking at Open Door, and he's so prophetic, he's got an incredible ministry. We were like, hey, can you come on the Pulse and give us a little sneak peek at what we could expect for tonight? So he's going to be, it's so good. And he has a word just for this house. Amen. And I know he kind of dropped a couple nuggets, for parents in this season. And of course, you know, as a mom, I hear that and I'm like, please tell me, like, how can I better
help me wrangle these babies?
Navigate this as a parent in these times that we're living in. So we're going to hear from him in just a bit. But first, let's just kick off our off the top because we have so much to talk about today. We obviously have the debate, which happened last night. But before that, before we get to the debate, we got lots to say about the debate.
Yeah.
But I wanted to start off with just honoring 9/11, the day that this is. This is the anniversary of, you know, a day I think we will never forget. I will never forget where I was when this happened. I mean, first of all, look at this footage. It looks like, I just, I remember seeing that live. I was actually driving to work. And when the first plane hit, and I was listening to the morning radio show, and the it was in the middle of a song, and I remember the DJ broke in and said, I was crying, and I was like, what is going on? Like, is this for real? And she said a plane, she was reading the news, like a plane hit. And then I got to work, and everyone obviously at work was watching, and we watched the second plane hit. And it's just so, it's crazy to me. I mean, this is a whole other thing, but like the enemy that we were fighting here is the same enemy that we're fighting today, is the same enemy that Israel is fighting right now. And I think sometimes we forget that this is the same. You know, everyone was so outraged when this happened and wanting to, you know, to fight back and to do what we could to neutralize this enemy. And yet it's like we're living in a day and age where Hamas is the same as Al-Qaeda. And yet we're like, it seems like so much of society is like
championing them and rooting them and hugging them. And
so, I'm like, do you not understand this is the same enemy? So I'm curious, where were you guys when 9/11 happened? Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
Where were you?
I was in fifth grade at a school, private school here in Burleson. And I was in the principal's office getting SWATs.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
And then the secretary came
that
in.
Early in the morning, you were causing havoc. It was like nine thirteen in the morning.
It was pretty early. I'd been there for 2 hours.
That early in the day.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. The secretary came in and it's like, hey, you guys need to go and look at the TV real quick. And that's how I found out.
Wow. Did they roll the TV in in there?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they did. So I was in my world history class in sixth grade, actually, in middle school. And we were reading, and I remember them, the teacher turning all the TVs and like, look what is happening. And I mean, yeah, it
like,
was.
As a kid, did you even understand? Because like, you were a lot younger then.
Honestly, I'm trying to, I was trying to remember really, really hard when we were prepping for this. And I was like, I don't think my, our mind as a sixth grader, I mean, what are you supposed to do? Is this fake? Is this a movie? Yeah. Like, what is this? But I remember we were all like, the teacher was like crying and we were just in shock.
Yeah. I mean, I was in first grade and I remember it was yesterday. Wow. Like they really rolled in the TV that they would roll in for like Bill Nye, the science guy.
That's what we did too.
And they put on like, how do you put that on in front of children first and foremost? I think that's a little bit weird. Like that was a little bit weird. Yeah. But then it was super eerie because all these kids started getting signed out. And all these kids would be gone from school. And you're like, yo, is my dad coming? Is my mom coming? And when you're one of the last kids you're like, you know, I was one of the last kids there. I ended up getting signed out, but it was real close to the bell ringing. And you're just sitting there kind of like, yo. And then, you know, it wasn't just one that got hit. It was bang, 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 obviously with the Pentagon as well and stuff like that. And so it was a complete day of chaos that just completely just uprooted our country. You know,
can you believe it was 23 years ago?
Yeah. And it's something that I'm really grateful that we're able to like reflect on and honor because it's something that like shook the world forever. I don't think the country's ever been the same since then.
No, it hasn't. And I just, it's just such a reminder, like wake up people. And this is the same enemy. And I saw this morning footage from 9/11 and it was from CNN and it was showing people in the West Bank in Israel rejoicing in the streets. And and the news anchor was horrified. The news anchor was saying this, and it was Palestinians in the streets rejoicing at what happened on September 11th, like that day. And again, they were horrified. The news anchors were like, people are rejoicing in the streets. This is horrific. How can people be rejoicing at this? But yet, fast forward to October 7th, and the same thing was happening in Gaza and most likely the West Bank, but specifically Gaza. I've seen the footage of rejoicing in the streets as dead bodies are being paraded through the streets of the town. And they're rejoicing. And yet, again, people are like coming behind their plight in this. And I'm like, where is the disconnect? I actually don't understand. I don't understand how people cannot see.
It's propaganda.
Propaganda.
And I agree.
When you get fed a narrative and you're told to believe a certain way and you kind of fall into line of the group think and you don't take time to actually dive into the heart of what's going on and see what's really happening and dig for truth and even just know where you line up personally. I think a lot of people that don't have a relationship with God don't even know where their values line up. They're kind of grabbing things. And then so therefore they choose a side without even knowing because they associate with a certain group that is also associated with that. And that's why you saw like a bunch of people supporting Ukraine to utmost, you know, without even knowing really what's going on. And if it's if that's a legitimate war. And we're sending billions of dollars to them without even questioning it. And it's one of those things where it's like we were fed who to support, you know, based on corporations changing their icons as their profile picture to matching the flag. And it's like, wait, why are we supporting, you know, like why are we putting our skin in this and stuff like that? And so the same thing happened with Israel and Palestine. You know, we saw like no war footage of Ukraine and Russia for so long. But then all of a sudden when Israel and Palestine was going down, we saw war footage nonstop. You guys remember when that all happened?
Yeah, it's so interesting. And in another thought that I had is in some of the footage from October, from September 11th, you know, you see George Bush and his response. And it was, you know, such a strong and somber moment. And I just can't help but think in an election season, God forbid, like I pray the Lord's protection over this nation. And I mean, the Bible is very clear. I will bless those that bless you, Israel, and curse those that curse you, Israel. So when you read that verse, I'll bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. It's talk about Israel.
Yeah, put that in the chat. Put that in the chat so people can really see that.
Yeah, seriously. And so it's like it gets me nervous. Like it really matters who is running this country, what our response will be, what our stance will be. And I mean, this kind of leads us into the debate. You know, when you have Kamala saying that she believes Israel has the right to support themselves, but also a two-state solution. We need to figure out a two-state solution. Well, tell me how you can figure out a two-state solution with people whose goal is to wipe you off the map. You can't. Gaza was an example of living peacefully next to Israel. That's what it would look like, a two-state. This is an area. They are the Palestinians' territory, the Palestinian territory next to Israel. And we all saw what happened on October 7th. It was not a peaceful living situation. It was a terrorist breeding ground, a breeding ground for terrorism. So with that, let's move into the debate. Our hearts and thoughts, first of all, before we do that, are with all the family. If you have relatives, friends, anyone that was like directly affected with 9/11, I mean, firefighters, thank you for your service, all of that. Like, just, I want to take the time to really respect those who, and then even who fought for our country after that. This is, freedom isn't free. And 9/11 is a reminder of that. And all those faces, I just like, you know, those kids are now 23 years old, like kids who were born, whose parents died that day. They're now in their 20s. That's that's just shocking to me. And growing up knowing that, you know, they lost their parents on such a memorable day. And so we honor you. We're with you. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. And standing as a nation.
And I love how much people came together after that day. And I actually wrote a speech recently for the guy that's actually speaking today. He was a police officer of over 10 years. He really helped with like counseling police officers. And one of the things that I pulled a screen grab for you guys of this quote was because of like what happened that day, like his whole mission of life changed as far as like wanting to help people that are responding to trauma. And just he saw humanity at a whole new like weight that day of being able to help each other and stuff like that. And so one of the quotes that I helped him with was there's a great opportunity to use the fuel of yesterday's sorrow to achieve the greater mission today. So it's like, what can we learn from 9/11 that we can able to apply in our walk with God and in our way we love people? And then this is another quote that I shared with him. When our eyes woke up on September 12th, it was a heart-shattering reality when we realized yesterday was not a dream, but it was a life-changing nightmare for over 300 million Americans.
And that's so true.
And that's the weight of it, where I think that was the first time, you know, I've experienced, I'm only 31. So I was, like I said, first grade. So that was the first time I've ever been exposed to evil at a really great capacity like that. And I think many other people are in that same boat. So it's almost like, it's almost like we are able to see, like, once a great evil like that exists, we have to also understand that a great God exists.
Yes.
The other side exists. Yes. And that's where it's like, we need to bring people to God instead of like pointing them towards evil so we can have less of those things occur.
That is so good. Yes. Bringing people to God and pointing them away from evil. That's so, so good. Speaking of that, let's talk about the debate.
Wait, real quick, before we get into that, I need to address something.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Apparently, some of y'all are having issues on YouTube because YouTube just happened to censor us.
Stop. What did they censor? No. What did I say?
I don't know.
What did I say?
Well, apparently, nobody can comment on YouTube anymore, but this is a great plug.
Wait, seriously? What are they saying?
Yeah. Wait. Great plug-in.
So
I can't.
Sorry, guys.
Because of the censorship and because of stuff like that, Why don't you guys go ahead and come on join us on ODX or join us on Facebook right now? Because apparently those are the only two working. So
wait, is it really weird that I have frozen. This like,
I'm dead serious.
I kind of have a little sense of like pride that I just,
got censored. That's great.
Stop it right now.
So you can go to odx.tv and you will click on the prophetic pulse. It doesn't say the pulse 24, but you have to click on that little red icon on top. And once you click it, then you'll be able to join us and chat with us and watch the pulse.
Yeah. And FYI, whenever I'm watching the pulse, I'm on ODX, and that's correct. Where I typically chat for with same. People as we're on here. So you should be on ODX anyway. But I can't believe, guys, we did it.
We didn't really do much. We didn't even do much either. I think it was you talking Israel.
It was only
come for me, please. Yes. Are you freaking kidding me? Can I say that?
No.
I can't even. I can't do it. Sorry.
Good job, Shay. Pastor Troy would be proud.
Pastor Troy's proud. I can't wait to tell him. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. Well, I definitely want to clip that and put it to a reel, whatever it was that I said, because I'll share that anyway. Okay.
And you're double censored.
The debate.
We're already censored in one place. Let's talk about that. Where to begin? I think, unfortunately.
Just say it.
I know.
She did good.
She did good.
Chris, because she had an earpiece in.
No, okay, she didn't, though. I don't think she did. No, she did. I did, because I heard the whole thing. She had an earpiece in there, saying that her earring looked like an earpiece. Mm-hmm. And I should have gotten the picture, but I did. Her earrings are Tiffany's.
She reminded me of the principal Tiffany's. That probably whacked you, right?
Unless they like dissected principal? A Tiffany's.
No, I deserved it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I have no resentment.
Oh my gosh.
You know who you are. If you're watching for whatever reason, I have no resentment towards you. I deserved it.
There we go. That shows growth.
That does show growth. Mm-hmm.
So you turned out to be a nice young man.
So you fact checked it a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the earring thing, because I was like, that is crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if it's true.
You're like, I want one.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
I need one of those.
No, I did fact check that. I knew there it is. Okay, so look, but see, it is actually different than the earring. Anyway, believe me, it's Tiffany's. I looked it up.
What do you think of her performance?
That being said, I feel like her performance, unfortunately, came across, honestly, from the beginning when she walked over to him and shook his hand. Some people were like, well, he made her come over to him. But to me, that was like a power move of her, like, I'm crossing into your territory and I'm showing you I'm not afraid to like shake your hand and I'm not backing down kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like it immediately to me felt like out of the gate swinging, she's on the offense, you're on the defense. And it just kind of felt like that.
The whole night.
Yeah. The whole night. And I was just like, I was waiting for like a
haymaker.
Yeah. But unfortunately I didn't feel that. And I mean, it's not changing how I'm voting. It's not changing what I think and what I feel. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk actually had a tweet that I was like, I really agree with that. He said, well, I don't think the debate hosts were fair to Donald Trump because that is something we'll talk about in a second. I think it was 3-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was part of it. Kamala exceeded most people's expectations tonight. That said, when it comes to getting things done, not just saying nice sounding words, I strongly believe that Trump will do a far better job. After all, if Kamala can do great things, why hasn't she? Mm-hmm. Biden rarely shows up for work, so she's basically in charge already. The question comes down to this. God. Do you want current trends to continue for 4 more years, or do you want change? That was the thing that I was like, why is he not driving this home? If she wanted to do all these things, why didn't she do them?
Mm-hmm. That is good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's well said.
What do you guys think?
Rebecca, what you think?
I love what Pastor Troy said at the 4 a.m. live, that evil is well organized. She seemed very organized.
You woke up for that?
I was awake and I saw the 30 minutes later.
Yeah, we were.
But I didn't know that he was live. But I love what Pastor Troy said, that evil is well organized. So what we're seeing on TV looks like, oh, she got it together. Like what you said, doesn't mean it's not going to change what we're going to vote. But if evil is well organized, then the church should be too. And this is a time that the church needs to step up. We have step it up. Pastor Troy has step it up. And we need to do our part. Because if she seemed like literally on camera, that whole setup was set for that day, that moment for ABC News, they seem like they have it all together, then we need to have it all together.
That's right.
And it's deceitful too, because it's not political. I do believe it's spiritual.
That's right. Do you think Trump was prepared? Way he should
I
have
can't.
Been.
I don't know. I won't comment on that.
Pablo, I will say, so Pablo, you commented, Shay, she did not do well. How can you do well when you don't answer a single question? I'm not saying that I'm behind her approach, but I just think from an outside perspective, if you're watching this, body language, how they're communicating, she came off. And listen, I don't want to be saying that. I wish I wasn't saying
this.
I felt like she kind of came off as like, as poised, and she was clearly super prepared because she knew she needed to, because she hadn't answered a single question in the
she said how long. All trigger words too.
Oh,
January 6th.
She went through all this stuff.
She knew how to press his buttons, and she didn't like babble. Normally she babbles and cackles over herself.
She did cackle some of the time, and I literally my skin is like
nails on the chalkboard.
Ben, what were you going to say? Were you going to say something?
I guess YouTube got scared of us again and let us back on.
There we go.
Oh, we're back on YouTube. Okay, watch. I'm not going to watch it. Whatever.
So you were saying that. So you were saying 3-1. It felt like the moderators, right?
Did you think the same thing? We all said the same thing.
Yeah, because even just like, you know, it's not even just the language. It's also the body language too. You know, what the main gentleman, I forget his name, was doing. You know, he was kind of like just completely acting like Trump was being like out of line and all these things. And it's like, no, like y'all are like setting him up to fail with the way you're not following up with Kamala at all, but you're only following up with Trump on certain things.
Yes.
Do you think that's why I think his tone changed and he got agitated, like he lost it because he's like, well, if they're all against me, then everybody's against me. Like he just like
he knew it was a stacked deck. The Daily Wire actually posted a reel, and I think we have it because it was showing like how they were fact checking him and not her. Take a look.
Detailed and dangerous plan called Project 2025 that the former president intends on implementing if he were elected again.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born.
Donald Trump left us the worst unemployment since the Great Depression. Donald Trump left us the worst public health epidemic in a century. Donald Trump left us the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War.
I just want to clarify here, you bring up Springfield, Ohio, and ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there have been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals.
If Donald Trump were to be reelected, he will sign a national abortion ban. Understand, in his Project 2025, there would be a national abortion, a monitor that would be monitoring your pregnancies, your miscarriages.
Migrant crime, and it's happening at levels that nobody thought possible.
President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. But Vice President,
honestly, I think it's a tragedy that we have someone who wants to be president who has consistently, over the course of his career, attempted to use race to divide the American people.
And we should just point out here as clarification, and you know this, you and your allies, 60 cases in front of many judges, many of them
no judge looked at it
and said
they said.
Oh my gosh.
She's lying though. Like, that's the thing. Like, so Paula's kind of right because she didn't answer a question and she'd be lying. But like, people that don't know anything and don't actually do like any kind of due diligence, they watch that and they go, Yeah, you're right, girl. Yeah, we don't want to go backwards. We want to go forward. And it's like, you've been in office 12 of the last 16 years. What kind of change are you talking about? Because you haven't done any change in the last 12 or 16
years.
Exactly.
Like, where is it? You had the opportunity. Pastor Troy, in his live, you mentioned his live, God's really given him discernment on how to navigate these seasons, and I'm very thankful to that.
Absolutely.
Take a look at what he said this morning. This is just a clip of it.
Day to have predetermined responses, no matter what we see, that before we see something happening, that we determine, hey, if it goes this way, this will be my response. If it goes that way, this will be my response. And to partner with the Lord prophetically before things happen. And so that you know that you live a true Issacharian lifestyle and that you say, now this is, I know what to do. I know what time it is. And I also know exactly what to do.
So good. We know what time it is. We know what to do because no matter the chaos around us, we get our truth from the Bible. We are grounded in the Word, grounded in the Lord.
Amen.
What is He saying in this prophetic season? I don't care what I'm seeing around me, you know? Mm. And so I think it's so important to just have the church be the church and take a stand. And
amen.
And I love seeing like God amplifying prophetic voices, like especially Larry that we have on today. You know, this is a time when so much is happening in the prophetic. Amen. And I'm thankful for leaders and for those who are able to help us navigate these prophetic times.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I think it's time for us to bring him home.
I think so too. I'm excited.
I know, right?
All right. Well, about to join us is Larry Sparks. Zach, why don't you tell us a little bit about Larry and we'll bring him in.
Yeah, Larry Sparks has been in ministry for more than 20 years, y'all. 20 years, that's crazy. He served as publisher for Destiny Image, which is a friend of the show, and travels internationally teaching on revival, which is something we're going to be talking about today, awakening and Pentecostal fire. Amen. Larry hosts regular programs on God TV and its Supernatural Network. He is the author of multiple books, including Pentecostal Fire, Ask for the Rain, and Accessing Greater Glory. Let's welcome Larry Sparks to the show. Yay. Ladies and gentlemen, show him some love in the comments.
Hello, Larry.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Larry.
How are you?
It is a joy to be with you. I'm doing great. Listen, I have been glued to the conversation. Normally, I don't comment on stuff like this. I might have some commentary.
Go ahead.
Come on, man.
What do you think, man?
All right. Well, I've got to say this because, again, I'm not a political commentator. My wife, Mercedes, works with Lance Wallnow. We've been here eight years. Oh, wow. And Lance definitely always has something very clear to speak into this. So follow Lance Wallnow for a more well-rounded perspective. But I'll say this. I did a video last night while the debate was going on. I caught the tail end. And then, of course, I watched all the highlights and the lowlights. I was doing a video with my dear friend, Lana Vosser, who's a prophetic voice over in Australia. And, you know, the Lord told me this when it comes to navigating times and seasons, particularly things that are tumultuous, particularly when there's crisis, it's very tempted to become the devil's intercessor. Mm-hmm. I want you to just try. I don't like that statement. In fact, I preached it this weekend in California and people were like, whoa, but I don't care if we're going to say, whoa. There are folks, and this is, we publish the prophets. I've been doing this for 12 years. Destiny Image has been around for 41 years. What I respect about Don Norai, who pioneered Destiny Image, he's passed now, he's with the Lord. And then the culture of what we do, there's a lot of folks who are prophesying or predicting or prognosticating apocalyptic doom, that everything is going to fall apart, that there's just going to be, you know, complete wipeout and crisis. And here's the reality. I understand there's darkness and deep darkness. Isaiah 60 says, I believe there's a glimpse of an eschatological prophecy there, an end times prophecy, talking about there's going to be darkness in the earth, deep darkness upon the people. We are witnessing that. Mm-hmm. And yet simultaneously, side by side, this is my eschatology. This is my end times theology. Mm-hmm. There's darkness and deep darkness, but simultaneously, there is a people arising in the earth upon whom the glory, the presence, the power of God would arise and shine. And folks, as a prophetic company, listen, we are going to be extremely sensitive to the spiritual traffic of darkness. In other words, you're going to pick up on, particularly watching the news, particularly watching something like the debate, you will sense, you will discern the plan, and I dare say the plot of the enemy.
Wow.
He wants to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yep.
Team, one of the things that I found is it's easy for people to agree with the devil.
Wow.
He will reveal or unveil something. Because the scripture actually says, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, Paul makes it clear, we should not be taken advantage of by Satan, and thus we are not ignorant of his strategies or his schemes, depending on your translation. We are aware. That's why actually you guys have programs like The Pulse. That's why you actually talk about things like Patriot Day, 9/11, and the debate. We need to be aware of what's going on out there. But here's my encouragement. Be aware. Be well-informed. Have an appropriate an awareness of the news and stuff. But when we are bombarded by darkness and when we seem to be picking up on the plot of the enemy, which is on an individual level or on a nation level, steal, kill, and destroy, don't give your voice. Do not give your mouth. Don't give your prayers or prophetic words to partnering with what the devil wants to do. Your job and my job as people filled with the Holy Spirit is to interrupt what the enemy wants to do. And again, that's the assignment of the prophetic. My last statement on that, and then I'll get off my soapbox.
No, this is not.
Like I said, I had some thoughts. I had some feelings. Because here's the deal. It's like the enemy does what he does, which is steal, kill, and destroy. Yes. And the reality is this. You and I are a firewall. The body of Christ is a firewall to America, to the nations. And whether, again, it's your family, your children, your city, your territory, your state, your nation. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. And our assignment through prophetic words, through our prayers. Mm-hmm. Listen, it doesn't take a prophet to agree with darkness. It doesn't take a prophet to recognize how dark, how challenging, how seemingly hopeless things look. Because it doesn't take a prophet. It takes eyes that see the obvious. Right. Mm-hmm. It demands a prophet. Amen. Who actually sees the activity of the Holy Spirit, demands a prophet, a prophetic voice, who actually knows the word of God. I'm talking about the scriptures, so that when everything literally looks like it's going to hell, you can release heaven because you know what God says about that situation or circumstance.
Yes.
And you can say, hey, this is what I sense. This is what I feel. This is what I discern. This is the plot of the enemy. Yeah. But I am going to boldly pray and intercede. Amen. And yes, even declare what God says about the situation. And that, of course, could lead into our conversation about what I sense we want to release today. But I'll conclude this bit with this. Sorry.
No, like I said, no, go ahead. We're taking notes right here.
Yeah.
You guys.
Yes, we are.
I like it. But here's the deal. Okay. Yeah, I'll just go right into this, and then I'll just shoot it back to you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, Acts chapter 2, where Peter is preaching that amazing sermon on the day of Pentecost, which he is citing the prophet Joel. And it says this. We're so familiar with this. Listen, if you're Pentecostal, charismatic, man, Acts chapter 2 is the go-to. I love Acts 2. I love Pentecost. Clearly, I wrote a book called Pentecostal Fire.
Amen.
But here is so fascinating. The Lord brought this out to me. And this is what I'm going to be speaking on tonight. I'm only giving a teaser right now. But right there in Acts chapter 2, we actually see God's end time prophetic word. And why is it so important? Because listen, there's a lot of people right now, either on YouTube, on social media, online, self-proclaimed prophets, predictors, prognosticators. Some of them are quite good. Some of them are legitimate. Obviously, we support and stand with people like Troy Brewer. I think of people like Dutch Sheets. I think of Cindy Jacobs. Wonderful people. They're great. But then there's also anybody who's anybody, sadly, can utilize a platform and say all sorts of interesting things. So we've got to use discernment. But right there in Acts chapter 2, as Peter is preaching that bold sermon on the day of Pentecost, there's that wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Peter actually makes it very clear what we should expect in the last days, in the end times. And again, the cool thing is he says, hey, listen, I'm going to give you a context for what you're seeing. He said, in the last days, speaking of the end times, speaking of eschatology, the time leading up to the return of Jesus, he says, in the last days, God declares. Amen. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. That hit me like a ton of bricks because it doesn't say in the last days, the most popular YouTube prophet declares. Doesn't say in the last days, the New York Times bestselling prognosticator or predictor declares. It doesn't say the I know I'm being slightly facetious, but sometimes when it comes to the last days and the end times, we put a lot of trust in sources outside of what God said himself, what God gave us very strong clarity on. And it says in the last days, God declares. Well, what did God declare? What did God declare? I'll say this much. God could have said a whole lot about a lot of things concerning the last days, but he didn't say anything about the Antichrist. He didn't say anything about artificial intelligence. He didn't say anything about globalism or a one world government. Those things we need to discuss. Those things we need to be aware of. Those things, you know, hey, if you got charts and graphs, preach them, teach them. Great. But the thing that we need to build our lives and expectation on is what God himself declared about the last days and the end times. And he said it very clearly. In the last days, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So I feel like in the middle of all the swirl right now, moving into an election cycle and things I'm sure are going to get very interesting, I want us to remember to remain calibrated with what God said about the last days, the end times, the era of history that we're moving towards. We should expect and anticipate, I believe, a historic outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I believe we are, I don't just believe, I am seeing those breaking out all over the earth. So there's my spiel. Thank you for entertaining it.
Well, let's talk about that, Larry. We know you're really big into the vision of revival that the Lord has given you. He expanded your vision. He wanted you to see more of revival in your walk and in your ministry. So what are you seeing right now all over the country? I know that there's you talk highly about there being a difference between renewal, revival, and a great awakening. Can you kind of break down where we are as a nation and maybe explain to our audience the difference between the three?
That's great. That's great. Yes. Renewal. Renewal is when you're a believer, you love Jesus, you're hungry for more, you're hungry for a greater encounter with God, and you get touched and refreshed by his presence. Honestly, perhaps one of the greatest modern examples of that is what took place in Toronto in 1994. People came up there to Toronto, Canada, a little church at the end of the Toronto airport runway, truly like hidden away. I think they could seat 200 people. And on January 20th, 1994, God broke in, and there was a renewal that is still impacting the planet today. But a lot of what happened would believers would go, and they would get touched by the Lord, and then they would be sent out to people, places like Mozambique, like Heidi Baker. Leif Hetland was sent out to countries that I can't even name and saw tremendous impact there. But yeah, renewal is when a believer is refreshed by the presence of the Lord. Revival is a bit different because revival, and again, I believe Toronto transitioned into revival. I believe places like Brownsville and Pensacola, 1995 to 2000, that was specifically a revival. Well, Larry, what's the difference? Well, in Brownsville, you saw a lot of people, number one, getting born again. They were getting saved. Specifically, you saw a lot of what you'd call a backslider or somebody who was once a Christian. This is, I don't want to go into the theology of this. Somebody who had gone far away from God. Let's put it that way. They'd gone far away from God. They were just strung out. They were just bummed out on religion. I don't want it anymore. They were living sinful lifestyle. And because of the presence of God that was so manifest, so strong in that assembly of God in Pensacola, Florida, they had, I think it was well over 2 million people come through that church over 5 years. And they had thousands, I'd say tens of thousands of people get born again, get saved, rededicate their life to Jesus. So revival, you know, revival is happening when people whose faith seemed like it was dead comes back to life. And typically revival is a personal thing, but revival is also a church thing. You have the Brownsville revival because it happened at Brownsville Assembly of God. So revival will happen personally, local church level. I'll bring it to this. I believe where the Lord is bringing us is into awakening. Mm-hmm. We need to define the terms so we know what time it is in the spirit, or
that's
we know
so
what God
true.
Is doing. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, you know, you guys have heard it. You know, there's God bless them. There's to some people, everything's revival. Well, right. It's revival. You know, we got five people got saved. It's a revival. Okay. That's glorious. And you guys know we celebrate that wildly. Yeah. But we've got to know. So again, renewal, believers getting touched and refreshed. And honestly, I mean, again, at Open Door churches like that, you have that all the time where believers simply get refreshed by the presence of God. Amen. And I love it. Revival is usually an unusual season or period of visitation. And again, visitation, touches individual believers and local churches. But awakening, this is when revival goes territorial. That's what I like to say about awakening. Awakening is when there's a rumble. I feel the presence of God even as I say this, only because I feel like this is where God wants to take things. Awakening takes place when there's a geography, when there's a territory, when there's a location, a city, a town, where because of what God is pouring out in a church or an area, the area around it, the territory takes notice. Wow. I mean, I think of the Welsh revival. It wasn't the Moriah Chapel revival. God, there's so many different churches in Wales in 1904. But notice some of these historic moves of God. They weren't named after a church. They were named after a territory.
Ooh,
they were named after a region. The Welsh revival, literally, you had 100,000, more or less, in a year brought into the kingdom of God. I think of that scripture where it says, can a nation be born in a day? Wales was literally spiritually reborn like in a year. That was amazing. Azusa Street, again, you had an amazing outpouring of the Spirit took place at the Bonnie Bray House and other locations. The Azusa Street Revival of 1906 was a territory. Think of the Hebrides Revival, 1948, 1949. These islands off the coast of Scotland. Again, a lot of churches involved. And I'm going to prophesy this right now in the Pulse. I believe if we want to shift from revival to awakening, churches need to come together. This is how I prophesy. The Lord comes upon me. I really sense churches, we need to come together. We need to work together. And maybe if you're not even directly partnering local churches, celebrate what God is doing in other places.
Yes.
Troy does that beautifully. We do not own the move of God. But when God is legitimately moving in other places, we see it in all these places that I just listed. Obviously, all the churches were busy because of the level of territorial outpouring that took place. Let it be so in our day, in the middle of what we're seeing right now, in the middle of an election cycle, in the middle of a rat sandwich debate. I mean, in the middle of all crazy, let it be that there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that takes place at a territorial level.
Yes.
Where all of the churches start to celebrate each other. Why? Because God is moving so pronounced and so strong that one church literally can't keep up with all of the people that are actually coming through the doors. Listen, that sounds like La La Land. That sounds like, oh, Larry, surely that's fantasy. That's happened. Wow. That's happened before. That's what I got my degree in. I got my Master's of Divinity at Regent University. I'm not trying to make myself sound impressive. I'm just trying to tell you the reason I know what I know, the reason I have faith for this, the reason that when I go to a place like we just went to San Marcos, California, San Diego, oh, brother, you went to California? Is God even there? You get things like that. Well, not only is he there, but we went this weekend. And listen, anytime I go somewhere, whether it's San Marcos, California, or in the last 4 or 5 months, we've been in Dublin, Ireland, Belfast. We've been in Australia. We've been in a lot of secular places. I show up not looking at myself. I know Larry Sparks. I live with Larry Sparks. I know me. I know my inadequacies. I know my imperfections. Yeah. But you know what? And people are going to be like, oh, you have hubris or arrogance. No, just track with me for a minute. When I walk into an atmosphere, even tonight, I expect revival. I expect a move of God. I do. Well, why? You know why? Because number one, Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Mm-hmm. He lives inside of you too. But you know what I found? I just put this together this weekend, guys, is I expect it and I see it. Why do I expect it so much? Because I've seen it.
Wow.
That's the thing. I've seen God move so many times. I show up and I expect, you know what? There's two or three gathered in this place. If there's two or three gathered here, there is a promise of his manifest presence. There's a bunch of people in one place in one accord. Then there's the promise. I have a testimony in the book of Acts that when that kind of thing happens, that he comes in like a mighty rushing wind. So I expect it. I expect it tonight. And I just want to I want to impart, if I can, that expectation to anybody watching, whether you're a pastor or a leader or whether you are a believer. Who, listen, wherever you show up, you carry the Holy Spirit. You carry revival. Ooh. My friend Miriam Evans says it this way. Every Christian is a revivalist because you're filled with the Spirit who makes dead things come to life.
That's amazing.
So wherever
Larry.
You go, that's your assignment. Okay.
I love that.
I get excited.
Larry, I'm so excited with you. I want to be able to equip our body at the ODX to be able to carry the spirit of revival with them wherever they go. And we're going to go behind the veil to expose that. We're also going to be talking about something that you're super passionate about, that you believe in wholeheartedly, that the river of God is rising and we are stepping into a whole new dimension and a depth of awakening. And we can, we're going to be able to share with our audience on ODX exactly how you see what's coming to pass, as well as a word for young parents and how they can steward the revival amongst their children into this next season that we're stepping into. Does that sound good with you?
Sounds great.
All right. Awesome. Before we do that, before we go behind the veil, Rebecca, why don't you bring us out to all those people who are watching us on YouTube and Facebook? Hopefully you jump over and join us on ODX, but what do they need to know before they go?
Yeah. So if you just join us, we are going to ODX.TV. This is for our stage 2 and stage 3 members. And you're like, what is that? You can sign up today. Not only is not signing up, it's partnering with us to stand and take a stand and fight against what the enemy has. And you know what? I do believe that when you join us, today or in the future, you are standing for a great, we're building a great army. That's I just see that in the spirit.
They're becoming part of the army.
And I just see it right now. So hold on. If you are not a stage two, stage three, you can go to odx.tv. If you have any trouble or any concerns, you could call us at 877-413-0888, or you can mail us if you want to partner with us that way and you can't sign up today. You can mail us at P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, 76097. And don't forget that Larry Sparks will be with us tonight at 7 p.m. at our midweek service. We are ready for a new encounter. Get ready. If you can't be with us in person, you can go to odx.tv for free and you can actually watch it on our live serving, on our live service link.
Yes. All right. Awesome. Good. All right. Well, with that being said, we are going to head behind the veil, everyone on Facebook and YouTube and X. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you behind the veil on odx.tv. Mm-hmm.